And welcome everybody to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. Emmanuel here. Kyle, you make it?
Hiya, how you doing?
And out in the signal land we have Alex.
Yep.
And we have Rob.
Hello, yes.
And we have Gila.
Yes.
Okay, did we have Emma or not?
It appears that Emma has departed, but oh, okay. We definitely appreciated them joining us for our radio hour. And there is a lot we've been given to talk about, a lot we've been given to go over. And we are also, I can confirm, live on YouTube and sounding okay.
Okay, always good to hear that. Any thoughts or feelings or feedback on the last hour? Because it was pretty monumental.
It was. And for those who may not have been listening to our radio hour, Emma Best of Distributed Denial of Secrets, that's at ddossecrets.com, ddosecrets.com, was talking about the organization's release of a batch of new Epstein emails, unredacted and in plain text searchable format. So there is definitely a lot of interesting stuff in here that is waiting to be discovered by people who are interested in diving into this data.
Yeah, I wonder how difficult it is to actually get the data at the moment. I can imagine that the servers are probably flooded.
It appears to be working as intended so far. There is a download link for a zip file. That zip file contains the EML files, which are really just plain text documents, one for each email.
And I just heard from Emma, who unfortunately had to go away from their keyboard. So she sends her her very best to us. I think it was pretty extraordinary radio, to be honest with you.
That joke, Alex, sends her best. Emma, pretty funny there. Pretty funny.
That was an unintentional pun. That's right. Yeah.
I will say that in the chat, folks are sending a lot of positive feedback about the interview. People were fascinated. People heard the whole thing and loved it. Emma's the best, says our friend Lex.
Wow.
I don't know Emma, but I enjoyed listening the last hour. Someone says DDoS Secrets has, hold on, I want to make sure I get that all correct. DDoS Secrets been supplying the journalists of the world with some of the best stuff for a long time now. We've got 37 people with us right now. Hello, everybody. And yeah, everybody is very excited. And Johnny Fusion is looking for one of the Colonel Sanders masks.
Yeah, I want to see that commercial. I really do.
As long as you're prepared for it, it's fine. Just if you're not ready for it, it will scare the pants off you.
Yeah, it is. It is on the KFCNZ YouTube account, and Emmanuel, you should see the link. I've sent it to our internal list. But of course, we can't watch other YouTube while we're streaming on YouTube. That would just be madness. So, you know, those of you out there, you can take a look at it and see what you think.
Would that be recursion?
Yes, and it's on KFCNZ's Shorts page, not their regular videos page. It's their YouTube Shorts.
All right, well, it's something to look forward to, I guess. We are going to open up the phone lines in just a moment, but I wanted to give people any more chance to comment while I hit the right buttons.
Well, I've got the files here. We can start to go through some things, you know, while we're on overtime. And
did you get all the files just now? Was it that quick, or did you have them before?
Mm-hmm. Well, I got I did have some advanced preview.
Okay,
I have to say that, you know, so I knew what was coming out. Yeah, but I hadn't really had any chance to take a look at it because I had been working and preparing for the show. But I'm taking a look now, and it's a lot of files. It is a lot. It's a lot of EML files.
Mm-hmm. What's an EML file? It's not a format I use.
It's an email format.
It is a plain text file. It's basically a TXT file, but it's an email, so it contains all the headers, metadata, and all that good stuff. And if you're accustomed to looking at the raw text format of an email, you know what you're looking at. And if not, and you bring it up in any email reader program, like Thunderbird or whatever else, it will present it to you in the fashion in which you can recognize an email.
Now, we made reference to the headers later in the show, and those are extremely important. If you know what you're looking for, you can find them in headers, because all kinds of routing information is hidden in there, times and dates and things like that. So those .eml files can be very, very significant, not so much for the or in addition to the messages that are actually contained in the email, but also for the metadata in the headers. I look forward to perusing those.
Yep, there's definitely interesting stuff. There is, Jeffrey Epstein was subscribed to a lot of news, and so throwing search terms in there for things that have been discussed in the news, like Trump, brings back a ton of results that are just all news stories being sent to him. There are accounts that he had. You could see things he bought on Amazon and the shipping confirmations, and the thing begging for, you know, reviews of your product. Are you satisfied with your book?
Oh God, I own one of the CDs he owns.
You know, that's bound to happen, Gila, so let's make our peace with it now.
Yeah, I'm trying. Sorry.
Did you buy it used? Maybe it's his copy.
Ew.
All right.
There are emails that he got from eHarmony because he was using that service in 2014. So yeah, if you were stood up on eHarmony in 2014, maybe you dodged a bullet.
Wow. I mean, other weird things too. Like I'm seeing he returned a set of bath rugs that were classic Chevy Chevron designs by D's Text Bath Rugs Collections and got a $29.99 credit for this. I mean, kind of crazy things, but also interesting too, because you get the last four digits. No, you get his expiration date of his credit card or his American Express in there.
Well, that's the kind of thing that turns you on. I guess that's a treasure trove of information with expiry dates of credit cards. But there are doubtless really significant things, both overt and covert, in these emails that we're going to uncover if we crowdsource it and look it over.
Yeah. It's really kind of extraordinary what Emma was able to do. And I think we forget that this is what they deal with day in and day out. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they deal with all this leaked data for many years now, and they deal with legal threats, and they deal with people harassing them and threatening them. And, it's like, and they just stand up. They don't care. They don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, did you notice how careful they were with how information is given out, protecting the victims and not jumping to conclusions? I mean, that is what journalism is all about. You know, you don't write the story before you do the research. You get the research and you draw conclusions based on that, and you're open to different interpretations. And that's how we all need to approach this. Yeah, Gila.
So there is something fun that we wrestled up here, which is that, you know, sometimes you can take an email and sign it up for stuff. And one thing that we've talked about a lot is what happens to your accounts when you die. And there are a ton of emails in these accounts that came in after Jeffrey Epstein shuffled off this mortal coil. Someone signed up one of his email addresses to a bunch of Trump mailing lists.
Oh boy.
With the username pedophile should be tried. So there are a bunch of emails that are just addressed to pedophiles. And then you get the standard direct mail goo, which is, I'm entertained. You know, pedophiles, we need to tell you something.
Wow. Okay. Well, you'll find things like that too, I guess. Interesting. All right, shall we open up the phones?
I'm ready.
Alex, you haven't blinked in 2 minutes. I know this is fascinating stuff, but come back down to earth for a second here. There's lots being released right now, and I imagine many, many people throughout the world have the similar expressions on their faces right now.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I've just found one of the emails that Emma had referenced that has to deal with a new sign-in. And this is the Google account jeevacation@gmail.com was signed in from a Mac in Florida. you know, that seems to have been a new sign in through Firefox on a Mac. So this is like really kind of like interesting thing. You know, it's a tiny little piece of a larger mosaic is what Emma was indicating. But so I did find one of these files, and they're these could be diamonds in the rough here. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there's a lot of crap spam in this collection. There's no doubt. But these little bits of data can really be, I think, critical pieces of the mosaic that will show us what the hell was going on in Epstein's life at a particular time and date.
That vacation account that you referred to, that was the account that was made for Jeffrey Epstein when he went to prison. They you can see how the cavalier way he dealt with it. It was considered a vacation. Right. And, you know, this was the first time he went to prison. And when he got out, of course, went right back into, you know, his the way he was. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah.
I'm just thinking some of these details are going to be in like a TV movie or like a biopic or something.
A miniseries or a long-running series.
All kinds of different things are probably going to be compiled and generated to look at it. I'm really intrigued if just the timeline alone of what was being said when changes any of the overall dynamic in our understanding of how things went and the current version of the story that's in public consciousness right now. Like, does this move that at all in any which way?
Everyone's it's good to see people reading. I'll say that. Always good to see people buried in something.
We are.
There is some fun stuff in here. There is a refund that he claimed for a book he bought from Amazon.
He didn't claim it. It was a pre-order. It was a pre-order price lock.
Oh, okay. I see that.
So the price went down between the time he ordered it before publication and the day it was published.
So they gave him his refund for $14.35 for the for a book called Family Wealth Management, Seven Imperatives for Successful Investing in the New World Order.
Well, it's always good to get a fair price on something about wealth management. That's for sure.
And it's if you have that level of money, it's good to get your $14.35 back.
Well, as I gaze upon the three of you going through all this material right now, with looks of wonder and some disgust on your faces, I have to ask: is it possible? Can you search keywords from what you're looking at right now? The entire thing, or is that just
you can. You can.
Yeah, it's a folder. It's a folder of plain text. So as long as you can search for the contents of text files.
So what shall we search for? We can search for something within these files. What would be a good word or a good name?
Well, searching for password brings up a lot of what Emma was talking about, like him getting his login credentials reset and apparently these attempts at getting into it. There is one complaint email that an email exchange he had with Yahoo over his two of his email accounts. And the accounts in question are, here we are. Dear sirs, my name is Jeffrey Epstein, and I am the owner and authorized user of the following two Yahoo accounts, JEE Project and Littlest Jeff. My password for each of these accounts is as follows.
Are you kidding me?
Hold on. It's going to get better.
Yeah, password for JEE Project was Neptune, and the password for Littlest Jeff at yahoo.com was Mermaid, as Emma told us earlier.
Isn't Neptune like some kind of god of the sea or something like that?
That's the one.
Right. Mermaids. Okay, wow. We're learning a lot of things I didn't really want to learn, but...
Speaking of things you don't really want to learn, the chat is chiming in and would like us to search Bubba.
Oh, boy.
Well, search Clinton first and then search Bubba, if we can handle those two searches. I don't know what to search for. This always happens. What do you search for?
Well, the other problem is we were having this earlier. Rob searched, just for funsies, searched a word that we could not say on air, but we can say here because we're on YouTube. And Rob searched the word fuck just to see what would come up. But it was a lot of things came up. And I'm like, why? Because it was buried in the headers.
Yeah. Like
there was code in the headers.
In the strings of random code that you would get in email headers. Sometimes it's spelled out fuck.
A lot of times.
Intentionally or just randomly?
No, just randomly.
It appears to be random, okay.
That is weird.
House.
But searching for Clinton, of course, as we said, Epstein was a New York Post reader, apparently, and got like every story emailed to him. So searching for
the New York
like Trump
Post, he got it from the Post.
The Washington Post.
Oh, okay. All right. Different.
But he also got a lot of stuff from CNBC. Like,
there was New York Post stuff, too.
New York Post stuff? Yeah. Okay. I only saw Washington Post.
CNBC.
Lot of news-related stuff. Yeah. So searching for Clinton is going to probably ping a lot of false positives, if you will.
Yeah. We're going to need to get in here deeper with some, like, regular expressions but to filter some of this out. But
clearly, he signed up for a lot of lists on his Yahoo accounts because wowzers.
Well,
you may be approved for debt consolidation.
let me ask this.
Oh, he was dead already.
Well, I feel awful even thinking of doing this, but you could emulate Epstein by collecting all these .eml files, putting it in a directory, and then running a program, and there you are in the program reading all the emails as if you're reading his emails. Not just looking at them as files, but actually, you know, you can reply to the whoever sent the email. But you can search titles. You can search, you know, you can weed out the spam and the news stories and do the kind of search that we're interested in doing.
Emmanuel, it's funny you should mention that.
Did you already do it?
I didn't personally do it.
There was something done with the earlier, and that. It doesn't include the emails that were just released,
okay.
But the earlier release of Epstein material, which is known as Epstein Files on DDoS Secrets, that is a collection that appears to have been consolidated from various sources that were available, including stuff that had been redacted by the House Oversight Committee. Somebody took those and put up a site at jmail.world. And what this does is presents basically a Gmail clone, but with those emails loaded into it.
Oh,
so you
wow.
can search them and click around them as though you're Jeffrey Epstein signed into his account. And this was his Gmail account. The stuff we just got from Emma is his Yahoo account. But the Jmail.world site can be fun to play with if you want to just look at this stuff without even having to download the files yourself and do some searching around and see what you can find.
You know, if I ever get to the day where I've organized my own email to the point where I can look at somebody else's, I'm going to do that because that sounds fascinating.
It's fun stuff.
Yeah, that site, the user interface looks really slick, and it just it's very fun to basically rifle through this inbox as though you're logged in, but it's just hosting it with those files.
Wow. Okay. Now I've got something to look forward to. All right. Shall we take phone calls?
Yeah, I'm ready to go whenever you all are.
All right. Well, someone can give out the phone number, and as soon as you say the last digit, the phone will become active. Before that, it will not be active, and you will go someplace we can't get you back. So be careful.
Emmanuel, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So if you're saying the last digit, does that mean just the digits? Or if you want to give out the word that the last four spell out, is it the last digit or the last letter?
Why don't we make it simple and give the digits out first, and then we can spell all kinds of things with the phone number afterwards. But the first time you give out the last digit is when it will become active. And
five.
I should also point out, it's possible, because we don't know this yet, last time we took phone calls, last week on WBAI, we tried to take phone calls. Oh, we did. We got a lot of phone calls, too. But they had trouble hearing me for some reason. So if that happened, everybody else can be heard great now because Kyle put in a whole new system. And you won't hear a hum. You won't have any trouble speaking to the people in Signal Land. But you might not be able to hear me well. I might just walk over to a different microphone. I could do that, or I could just shut up. And I think that's what most people want. So you know, let's see what happens. Go ahead.
All right. So if you would like to give us a call, it's 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. Or if you're feeling sporting and want to give us a toll-free call, you can reach us at 833-755-2600.
And the phone is now active, so people can dial those numbers and reach us.
Do we not have a phone call yet?
I'm shocked. I don't think we do.
I have a question from the chat.
Go ahead.
Which is from our friend Tim in Connecticut, totally unrelated to tonight's show, but I keep forgetting to ask, is there any word on the Hope 16 flash drive release?
Yes, actually, we have all the videos. We are putting them together, and there will be a flash drive very, very soon. If you already bought one, you will be the first people to get them, obviously. And we expect that to happen. Right now, we're finishing up an issue, and we're working on a couple of the projects. And, of course, we also have the issue with the conference, trying to unfuck that situation. I don't know. But there's nothing more I can really say about that. Looking for another place to have it, hopefully next year. And we're going to see what happens. Obviously, people's support and ideas, all very, very important.
Excellent. There was one fun email that came up in the older Epstein Files release that I was endlessly amused by. Let me just bring it up again. Do you folks know who Al Seckel is or was? I'm going to guess no. Okay.
Sounds somewhat familiar.
I mean, I know because you and I talked about it, so I'm recusing myself from the question.
Okay, well, maybe you can enlighten folks a little.
Okay. Al Seckel, I'm just quoting from the Wikipedia now, was an American collector and popularizer of visual and other types of sensory illusions. But he was also, news coverage arising from his connection to Jeffrey Epstein has stressed his misrepresentation of his education and credentials because, Rob?
Well, he was an interesting character, and he was going with let me see, is this the person in question? Yep. He was going out with Ghislaine Maxwell's sister, and he was also employed by Jeffrey Epstein to try and do some online SEO, some reputation management stuff, some that thing where you suppress things about someone that they don't like being on the internet and try and emphasize things that they do like. And Al Seckel was doing this this service for Jeffrey Epstein. And there is an email from Al to Jeffrey about how the bots did the sweep, and here are the new results. And you only have one negative article left on the front page of Google, which is a Huffington Post article. This is from 2010, by the way. And talking about editing Wikipedia in his favor. And a funny thing is that he refers to editing Wikipedia in Jeffrey Epstein's favor, editing Jeffrey Epstein's Wikipedia page as "we hacked the site to replace the mugshot and caption, and now has a different photo and caption. This was a big success."
But he also says, "we've stopped the hacking on your wiki site."
Yes.
Also, he's a terrible, terrible speller. I don't know. You know that thing where you can automatically have your email client spell check your emails before they go out? Yeah. Al did not have that selected.
One fun thing about this was you could see the rest of the thread in which Epstein is complaining back to Al, "I was never told that there was a $10,000 fee per month. You initially said the project would take 20, then another 10, then another 10. So yeah, Al was charging him money. Jeffrey Epstein was complaining about the cost of this hacking Wikipedia in his favor. Okay, and Al Seckel also no longer with us.
Folks, we're having an issue with the phone, so if people are trying to get through to us, I don't understand what's going on. We use Google Voice. We're forwarding. It's all set up, but it's not working. So when you call it, you get the recording saying that this is a busy signal. It would be a busy signal if Google believed in busy signals, but we can't seem to get the phone to actually forward. So if anyone has a trick out there when Google Voice stops working, how to make it work, that's what we're working on right now, is trying to do that.
People are speculating on where Rebel might have gone for Thanksgiving, that he wasn't on the phone yet, but apparently it turns out there's another reason. What else? So people are busy suggesting things to search for in the tranches of email, you know, fun things like Andrew and Duke and Stallman, and "have you tried turning it off and on again?"
Well, searching for Stallman actually didn't bring up anything, so let's try something else here. Bubba also didn't bring up anything.
We're signing out and signing in again, see if that works.
Okay.
All right, so we are turning it off and on again. And thank you for your patience while we do this. But again, you can go to ddosecrets.com and check these files out for yourself. If you have a torrent option and use that, you can save DDoS Secrets some of their precious bandwidth and help spread this stuff around for others. But of course, use your own judgment when seeding this sort of thing. So many Amazon.com emails, Logitech webcam. If that electric eye could talk, I'm sure.
Oh God, I don't even shower door direct.
Oh, a fogless suction cup mirror for a shower door. This is fascinating.
Yeah, there's just tons of stuff. I mean, I'm just kind of randomly scrolling, and it's like, wow. It's like, it's clear this was an account that he used to sign up for things, right? So It's just like a massive amount of stuff. YouGov false account identification. What the hell is that?
He had a Kindle book called The Ultimate Ponzi.
No, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. CVS orders in here too, right?
Okay, so what's interesting is we signed out of Google Voice with forwarding on, signed back in, and forwarding was off. So it turned itself off. Now we're going to try turning it back on and see if that works.
All right.
But it's acting really, really weird.
Are there any questions from the chat about the
show? In fact, we just got one.
Yeah, could you just ask those? I'll maybe relay an answer while we're waiting.
Happy to. Someone just said, if he knew his communication was insecure, why did he continue to use it?
That is a good question. Maybe he didn't feel it was under scrutiny.
Okay, the good news is that seems to have fixed it. Just logging out, logging back in, turning it on a second time. Okay, weird. We have a call, Kyle? All right.
Yeah.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime, and tell me if you have trouble hearing my voice.
Loud and clear.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was a surprise.
Awesome.
I can hear myself echoing.
Oh, don't start. Okay.
Might be my headphones. Yeah.
I'll turn myself off.
Yeah, sorry. There's a delay. I need to pretend like this is ham radio or something. But I have an idea. You know, when the Enron email corpus came out, there was an art project that came out called The Good Life. You can visit at enron.email, where basically you can sign up for it, and it'll send you a copy of the Enron email corpus, I believe, once per day. So you can simulate, what it would be like to be one of the employees in this company, and you know, seeing messages pile up in your inbox in the same order. Now, awesome. Take that idea and apply it to the brand new Jeffrey Epstein email corpus.
You know, once this data is out there, any number of people can get hold of it and come up with any sort of interesting projects. And yeah, something like that might be a really clever use of the data.
Idea number two. Use them to train an AI chatbot to mimic the personality of Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, God.
Let's not teach computers to be that.
Only a matter of time.
I'm sure people are feeding these into an LLM, or they're being indexed, you know, literally as we speak at this particular moment. So yeah, and people are not going to be able to resist the temptation of feeding this in and trying to see what they can get out. But we'll see. We will see. But I love your idea of having some kind of art related project here. I mean, if something interesting and unique can come out of this, that's fascinating. But I mean, I think there are going to be some diamonds in the rough here, and from what I can tell, they are definitely, there's a lot of rough and very few diamonds in this data set. But if what Emma had mentioned is correct, that there's conversations with people and perhaps even council about trafficking people from one jurisdiction into another so that they can have underage sex with them, that could be actionable. That could have major repercussions, especially if Epstein was speaking to any kind of legal advisor about that particular scheme, or others were speaking with legal advisors about that particular scheme. I mean, these are things that we should definitely be digging into. And now we can.
It's great to witness this sort of historical moment, you know, just all live over the air. And, you know, I'm hopeful to see what people will do with this. There's probably all kinds of things coming out that you wouldn't even imagine.
And speaking of history on the air, you guys were able to talk to each other for the first time without struggle. You're talking to the people in Signal Land, and mm-hmm. and everybody can hear each other. So thank you, Kyle, for making that happen.
Yes, bravo, Kyle.
Woohoo, yeah. Kyle.
Well done. Well done.
No problem.
But speaking of, like, you know, on the air, I thought it was a pretty good show tonight. I mean, this was, I think, somewhat historical. This was really unique.
We don't get to say that, Alex. It's the listeners that decide if it was a good show or not.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I mean, would you agree, disagree? I'm like, I want
to
hear.
You don't get to ask that, Alex. You don't get to ask whether it's a good show. Listeners have to voluntarily come to you and tell you it's a good show.
I'm breaking all the rules.
Can I just butt in for a moment and say that
probably
one of the most important episodes of Off the Hook for some time to come.
Yes, you're probably right.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It was. I thought it was great radio, too. I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and we're going to try and get more calls as well, now that we can talk to people.
Hey, all the best to Emma Best, and not related, but I went to the Capitol today and went through a full body scan. The tube, the cylindrical machine they have in airports. It's been a while.
It sounds like you got an MRI. You sure you went to an actual building?
Yes, it was the Capitol building.
Okay. You were standing up. If you were standing up, then okay. If you were lying down, then yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing that.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 802-321-4225.
All right. Well, there we have it, right? Yeah.
Oh, wait.
We have another question, which is actually exclusively show related and has nothing to do with the leak. Any update on the archive of the 2600 voice BBS?
Yes. And that's all I can say right now, but yes. Stay tuned.
You're asking all of the most important questions.
Yeah.
Next question.
That is a good question. That's a very good question.
Well, the next question we can all answer is, has Rebel called in yet? The answer is no.
Wait, why would somebody ask if something happened that they're listening to right now?
Next question.
This may be someone who recently joined us. Cheers for Kyle is a comment in the chat. Mm-hmm. and Zap says, listeners have spoken. It was a good show.
All right, then. That's how you do it, Alex. You don't fish for the remarks. You have to let the remarks come to you.
All right. I'll duly noted. I think we have a phone call. Hopefully not Rebel.
I know we have a phone call. I heard the phone ringing, and Kyle's picked up the phone, and we're about ready to say good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. What's on your mind?
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you don't have time for that one. however, the show was actually a very interesting show. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to listen to it again, probably on the WBAI archive, because it was a little on the dense side, and it was about something that, personally, the details of I ain't too interested in. I'm really interested in is anybody investigating the suicide? Because I don't believe there was a suicide. I believe he was taken out.
Well, you know, there's definitely that theory. I don't know if we have, the means to investigate that ourselves, but certainly we can ask questions. And somebody is talking in the background. Do you hear that?
Whoops. Has anyone interviewed the guards since the story that they put out was that they fell asleep and they were punished in some kind of way? Has anybody done a rundown on the guards?
Yeah, I'm not sure we're the people to ask about that.
Yeah. All right.
I believe they gave testimony and, yeah, maybe I think even have since left the profession. I'm not sure. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Right. And I think people are depending on that to... I'm not even clear that they're focusing on the people who were taken advantage of as much as can we nail someone of quote-unquote stature in the system. Is that the impression that you all are getting?
Well, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it as far as what, you know, where the emphasis is being placed. And I've heard it said that too much emphasis is being placed on trying to get other people implicated somehow and not so much on the crimes themselves. But, you know, I think if people are implicated, then all of a sudden you do have crimes that can actually result in some degree of justice for the people who suffered through them. And if Jeffrey Epstein has avoided that kind of responsibility, maybe somebody who is still around can shoulder that responsibility. There are certainly enough people who were part of that world that have some questions to answer. And I think, you know, going through all this, that's how you find out who those people are. You know that our Department of Justice is not doing that. They are covering it up. And that's pretty obvious. They're doing a bad job of it, too, by saying, yeah, there are no files. It's the case is closed. That's what they said a few months ago. And obviously that's not true, because look at what we have. Yeah, you know, I think this is crowdsourced justice, I guess, is what it's going to turn into.
Well, then, contextually, since do you think that waiting 4 or 5 years until the system attempts to correct itself, if the population is willing to is willing to educate itself sufficiently? I mean, where is this going in the context of moving us all forward so that we can, well, on my case, get out of capitalism, because it's like totally wrecking my life.
Well, it's just a question of getting the truth out, getting to the truth. You know, we have this this evidence of one sort or another. And if we don't believe that we are being told the truth, or that things are being looked into and this evidence is out there, then by all means, everyone have a look at it. Let's make sure it's actual evidence. And I'm sure people will find things that otherwise never would have been found.
I agree, except that unless the population's willing to accept the quote-unquote facts that you find, we're still in the same position in which the president gets to assassinate somebody on Fifth Avenue and everybody says, is that all there is?
Yeah, well, you know, every time you present some bit of evidence out there, it changes the mind. It has an effect. So not doing something is never the right thing. Not moving forward is never the right move. So if you just keep looking at what's out there, what's presented to you, and you share that, and more people look at that, it builds things up. And nobody is immune from that. You know, you might think that that the people in power now have all the power. They really don't. And the reason you know this for a fact is look at how they act. They're scared. They're defensive. They're constantly attacking people who question them. Those are people who are not in control. And when people are not in control, the more evidence you bring that they have to deal with, the weaker they get. So not doing something, no, that's not the right move. So let's you know, look at everything we can find and see if somebody takes it seriously or not. If they don't take it seriously, well, that says something, doesn't it?
I thoroughly agree with everything you're saying. I'm just perhaps because of my current condition, I'm just looking for the what's next. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody accepts the fact that one of my favorites, Larry Summers, is totally perverted, whatever. Going to jail isn't going to hack it. Is there another way that we can get get some satisfaction and make the person responsible responsible?
We're talking about two different things here. We're talking about gathering evidence, and then you're talking about exacting justice. And those are two totally, you know, it's like, what is it, Law and Order? They have the crime and then they have the trial. Is that how that show works? One of those shows does that. So it's, you know, they're related, but they're totally different. And right now we're at the stage of just gathering information, uncovering the truth, and admitting that there is something there. Alex, did you have something to say?
Yeah, just in terms of this whole evidence gathering exercise, I mean, I think we have to look at these types of cases that are very puzzle-like, really, as a mosaic, right? This is the analogy I was using before, and these may be, you know, 10, 20 tiles of that mosaic, that larger picture, you know, out of 20,000 that were in that particular email inbox. And so I think it's, you know, it's going to be a slow process, but I think this is something we shouldn't look at as, oh, this is a rarity. This is some kind of luxury here that we have the ability to look at this, right? Because transparency isn't a luxury in a case that's this complex. It's the only way to check whether institutions did their jobs or they covered up for powerful people. You know, we don't know that without looking at the data. And I think it's just so important to recognize that what Emma and DDoS Secrets did was they gave the public the ability to make their own judgments about this. That's pretty cool.
And along with that is the chance to go through this stuff. And the stuff that seems like just sort of workaday, routine emails that don't actually have content in them that's written by people. But these are peeks into this person's life. I just learned from his receipts here that he suffered from sleep apnea and, you know, ordered supplies for his CPAP machine. One of the emails about this had a helpful ebook attached called Hacking Sleep Apnea. So you can hack your sleep apnea if you've got it out there.
Yeah. Wow, fascinating things to learn. Thank you very much for your call, though.
Right. How do I pick this up? Do I go back to YouTube to listen to you? Because
if you go to, WBAI has an archive of the show, if that's what you're asking. We also...
No, I'm asking how do I continue to listen to you all.
Oh, to us.
While you're continuing.
Yeah, you go to YouTube.
While you're continuing the Off the Hook.
Right, you go to YouTube.com and go to Channel 2600.
Okay.
Channel 2600.
Right.
What? God, let me say it. Channel 2600, I'm trying to get this out. Channel 2600, one word, and that go to that channel and you should see a live broadcast.
Right, that's where I was before I decided to call in. The last thing is, really quickly, Peter Diamandis, Diamandis, they're into AI. Is there a place that AI would be helpful in gleaning the information? And I'll listen to you on the YouTube.
All right, thanks for your call. I didn't understand that last question. Did anybody?
I think they were talking about different tools that you can employ. And the answer is yes. This is now public information. You can process it, store it, share it, attribute to it in writing and reporting. So there's any number of tools out there, including stuff that employs machine learning.
Okay. And the calls are rolling in now. We have another call. Ready? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, I almost forgot about Off the Hook. I realized that you were on. I forgot
Rebel,
about you.
Rebel, you're slipping. You used to be number one. Now you're number, what, three or four? Whoa, this is... I don't recognize this. What's on your mind? What's
now
going
you know,
on?
I forgot what I was going to say. Let's see. How did... Oh, now I forgot what I was going to mention because I forgot about calling you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know what I want to mention.
This is unscripted Rebel here.
Yeah. I noticed that sometimes I've been listening to the old shows, like the old authors from like the 90s.
You can do that? You can listen to the old ones without going crazy?
Wait,
because I can't.
We just told people how. All right, continue, Rebel.
Yeah, that's
continue.
True, we did.
All right. Well, I noticed that when you call things, like sometimes an 800 number or things like except for like operators and like directory systems and stuff, like certain 800 numbers, so like sometimes you call like to demonstrate things like I think you call Chase Bank or Citibank or an airline or something like that. Sometimes it will ring once and then pick up, or ring twice and then pick up, or maybe three times. But sometimes it won't ring at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Things used to ring, and things don't always ring now. You don't need a ring. You know, rings are...
But this is in the 90s I'm talking about. Is that like a digital switching thing, or I don't know?
It might be a digital thing. It's a good question. Like, you know, I remember, you remember 950 numbers, right? You would call to
get
a dial tone, and it wouldn't ring. It would just immediately give you a dial tone.
Well, that's a special number. Yeah,
but there are a lot of special numbers that all of a sudden started popping up. Now, Alex wants to jump in, and Rebel, you can now talk to people in Signal Land, and I can sit back and relax.
Well, before you do that, I noticed that operators don't ring.
And Alex, you have to be aggressive. The only way you're going to get his respect is if you are aggressive.
I know you got to. We got to just get the word.
Grab the brass ring.
What I don't understand, Alex, too.
Oh my God! What I don't understand,
Alex.
Jesus! What I don't understand about this question though is, are you essentially asking how sometimes somebody on the other end answers the phone after one ring, and other times after two rings or something?
Can I just butt in here to offer some advice to both of you? Finish a sentence, then the other person talks. Don't talk at the same time. Then you'll hear each other.
Yeah. So is that the question, though, Rebel? Like, how? Let me rephrase the question here. How can, in the 90s, somebody who's receiving a call pick up after one ring when somebody else can pick up after two rings? Or no rings at all?
Right, or no rings at all. That's the thing. Sometimes the phone will ring twice or one time or three times, but sometimes it won't ring at all. You'll call 1-800 Amtrak or something, you know, and then it'll just, it won't ring. It'll just,
it's 1-800 USA Rail, by the way, not 1-800 Amtrak. That's not even enough.
Whatever it is.
But it's just
dial 1-800 Amtrak.
You know,
let's try.
You dial 1-800 Amtrak, it's going to be waiting for another digit. It's only six letters.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Yeah, he's right.
Amtrak. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. You can't dial a six digit phone number.
Not in this country.
Rebel, you should know this.
M. Yeah. T. It's 8. R. That's 7. Spelling A.
What?
And it's 2. C.
There's no C.
There's no C in Amtrak, for God's sake.
I know there's no C.
Apparently because you just typed a C.
You're ruining the phone network.
Recorded for quality assurance. We have a special promotion today for select callers.
This is what you get now when you call some of those numbers that used to work in the 90s.
Some of those numbers that used to work in the 90s? What numbers were those?
I mean, any number like for different phone companies that like cable, if you call like cable and wireless or working out some distance.
So, Rebel, you're saying if you try to call numbers for companies that don't exist anymore, the numbers don't work?
No, some of your
time I'm stunned.
Recorded. You'll get that recording. Did you hear the recording that came on?
We heard a recording.
Sure did,
yeah.
Because you decided you needed a three-way SN with a phone call right now.
It didn't give a name of a company or anything like that.
I understand this point.
But it's one of those, I mean, if you hold on, I'll three-way you.
Oh, wonderful. Alex, you actually have a clue as to what this is about?
Yeah, I think the point that Rebel's trying to make is that these numbers that used to be very popular back in the 90s, and people would often dial them. They've become disused and picked up by opportunist salesmen or women or whatever, right?
Yeah, but he's dialing Amtrak with a C. When was that popular?
Bang that up off the, just rather random.
What, I think you really did. You must have really thought Amtrak.
Can you give us an example of a number, then telling us what the number used to belong to, then maybe we'll appreciate this.
At the top of my head, let's see.
But you just did it, so that's why I'm asking you.
What happens what happens at 1-800-288-2880 now?
Is that used to be Alex, I'm going to ask you the same thing. What number was that?
Okay, wait. 288.
That has to be AT&T, right?
It was AT&T, 288. Yeah, it was AT&T.
I never called that number.
288-2880?
Yeah, I'm going to suggest long-distance companies because they're not used and may have been recovered. Yeah.
I've got a number Rebel can try. The old MCI number, 1-800-444-4444.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You write that down, though.
Calling.
What?
Followed by, okay, hold on. This is in telecall now. Let's enter.
Wait. I have an idea.
He's pretty excited right now.
Dr. 47 tells us that 1-800-DRACULA used to have amazing seasonal vampire recordings.
I wish I had known that back when it was relevant.
1-800-COLLECTIVE still works.
It does. Well, you can make a collect call.
Yeah. So, I'll hold on and I'll demonstrate.
Yeah, try calling us collect. See what happens.
It's probably not going to work. Oh, by the way, Alex, you would know. You would like this. Next time you're in London, go to a payphone, dial 155 for an international operator, and call your cell phone. Collect. You won't get a bill.
Will you get a call?
You'll get a call. Well, they'll say, "Will you accept a collect call from the United States or from London, from the United Kingdom?" And you'll say yes, and then you won't get a bill.
I think one day they're going
to
catch up to you. Okay,
how about a year? In a year? No.
All right. Anybody in London, try that trick. Let us know what happens, because I don't think that works.
We'll give you Rebel's cell phone.
Yeah, call me collect. All right, fine.
Are we done here? Are we waiting for anything?
Yeah, I think we're done here.
1-800-COLLECT coming on.
We had a baby eats a boy.
I don't think 1-800-COLLECT paid their bill because I don't hear anything coming on.
Thank you for calling 1-800-COLLECT, powered by YNACTEL. Now, we can also assist you in making collect calls to wireless numbers.
That distortion is on their end.
Please wait for instructions.
You mean that's what it really sounds like?
That's what it really sounds like.
Now, para recibir asistencia, please enter the area code and number.
Your number.
All right, go ahead.
By the pound sign.
Yes, and there is a C in that.
Well, you know, it's going to go to a busy signal.
To get the last call, press 1 now.
I mean, I could do this on three-way of a sound on
it. He's going to get the
collect call is not allowed. See?
Okay, there. We're protected from you.
Wow.
All right, Rebel, we're going to have to move it on because there's other people waiting. Yeah. So,
all right.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, Alex, next time you're in London, call collect.
I will try.
Alex, you have an assignment now.
All right.
So do that.
Maybe I'll do it on the air from London.
I think the cool part about this whole thing is that 155 gets you the international operator. How do you get the international operator here? We never had a number for that.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been gone.
I didn't know that was the number. I knew 112 was how you call the cops. And you know what? I knew other ones, too, but... 999 actually is
999.
112 works. Fun fact: on your cell phone here in the United States, if you dial 112, you will get the police. Don't do that.
Really?
Yeah, because every phone has to work in every country, and whatever it is in Russia, it works here too. And it's something that you wouldn't expect. I forget what it was. All right, 802-321-4225. Did Rebel hang up, Kyle?
Well, let's just say that's taken care of now.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting for the signal to
I pressed this button.
I didn't want to be rude.
You didn't see me press that button, so you didn't know that he was...
Not watching that, no, but we're ready for another call now.
I hope he doesn't call back and say, I got disconnected, because technically he'd be correct, but don't do that, Rebel, because it could lead to bans, and we don't want that. 802-321-4225. Have time for maybe one more phone call before we have to go. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, isn't it? Yeah, wow.
It is.
So we probably should be doing other things.
Yes.
Peeling potatoes.
You just remembered too, Hila? Yeah, I only found out yesterday.
Oh, no, I'm well aware tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Oh. I'm not a Thanksgiving person in the least. But Tim in Connecticut, our friend Tim in Connecticut, just shared a lovely anecdote. Says, growing up, my father, an over-the-road truck driver, used to call home collect and ask for himself. And mom would know he arrived safe without a long-distance phone call.
You know, Tim, that's phone fraud. That's what we call that. People go to prison for this. There is no statute of limitations either. My grandparents would do that. I mean, mm-hmm. Can you picture your grandparents engaging in phone fraud? But that's yep. how it's. That's how
yeah, it's actually, now that you mention it. Mm-hmm. And are we taking a phone call?
Yeah, we're taking a phone call as soon as you finish.
Fantastic.
What you're saying.
Okay. Dr. 47 says, in the 90s, I used to keep a notebook log full of interesting 800 numbers I'd find that way, just making words or number patterns, et cetera. And I know.
I did the
Other
same.
People who yeah. did the same.
I still Absolutely. Have my notebook. I still have my notebook filled with phone numbers. Do you guys still have your notebooks?
I had some. Yeah, I think I got rid of some too.
I think mine may be lost to time, but one of my favorite ones was I would call 1-800 and then the name of some fictional character just to see who answered. And
I thought I heard that sound. I thought I heard that sound in my headphones. So, yeah, the person hung up. So, 802-321-4225, an opportunity has presented itself for somebody who didn't get through.
How loud are those headphones? You're hearing everything.
No, it was way in the distance. It was bleed. It was bleed.
Uh-huh. So I ripped it off the
All right. One. I'll just turn her down. And
802-321-4225. All right.
Do we have a phone call, Kyle?
Correct.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Johnny Fusion, back from the dead.
Johnny Fusion, it's been ages since we heard from you.
Yeah, but I'm doing okay now.
Well, we didn't know you weren't doing okay before. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it's okay. I just had my last lung clinic, and things are stable. You know, my transplanted lungs went into chronic rejection, but we seem to have slowed that down.
Well, that's good. That's great, actually. So I'll be feeling better.
I am. And I'm happy to see that my article finally made it in the current issue of 2600.
Yes, you do have an article. It's been a while, and now you have an article again. Hopefully you have many more.
Yeah, I'm working on the next one. It's some weird thing about simulated reality and wealth pathology. It's a weird one, but you know, talking about the mindset of these tech billionaires and how it's a pathology, this addiction to wealth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you always write on interesting topics that are quite relevant, and I know people appreciate that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm thinking, if I send in a letter, could I put in, like, an addendum to the article that just appeared? Because, like, I wrote it back in March, and a lot of the things I predicted really did come to pass. You know, just to remind, it was on the TikTok ban, and then the ignoring of the TikTok ban.
Right. Well, if it's just an addendum, like a paragraph, send that as a letter. But if it's if it leads to another article, then obviously that's another article.
No, it's just, you know, how things played out, you know, because how now TikTok is owned by a Trumper Zionist, and they really are quashing any pro-Palestinian messaging on the app, which was the original reason for the ban in the first place. Well, my article said so. And when you pointed out, it was because of the anti-Israel sentiment among basically Gen Z, who's the main user of the app. And now they've really successfully just changed the ownership, and now pro-Palestinian messages are completely suppressed on that platform.
Well, you know, it's something that is interesting to talk about and point out if it's true. So, by all means, you know, update what you've written so far.
Okay, that's just it. I just wanted to call in and let you guys know I'm doing okay. I know I've been a stranger, but I'm getting more active. I'm writing for my blog as much as I have to decide if I want to put it on my blog or if I want to put it, you know, submit it to the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But print is slow.
Well, yeah, it does take time. You know, we're finishing up an issue now. It'll be over a month before it comes out. So that's how it works. But there's a magic to that, too, because it takes a while to come out, but it lasts forever. And, you know, 50 years from now, you can still read it. And good luck on a Facebook post doing that.
True.
All right. Do you want to tell us where your blog is?
Yes.
Oh, it's hacker-ethics.flynnos, FLYNNOS.org.
That rolls right off the tongue. Okay, well, good.
Yeah, hackerethic.flynnos.org.
Cool. All right, well, listen, stay in touch, and hopefully we hear from you again the next couple of weeks.
Okay, I'll be writing.
All right, be well. And that's going to do it for us as far as calls and probably as far as overtime. Any final thoughts from you guys?
Happy Thanksgiving. Look out for the L-tryptophan. Be strong in any awkward conversations that you have to have with folks you don't see all that often, except for occasions like this.
Yeah, you know, maybe listen. Maybe just sit back and listen and be entertained. And, I don't know. I don't know. It's a test of your patience, I suppose.
I just avoid politics and religion.
Yeah, but what if others don't?
But then you don't engage.
But you notice how it's always people like us who avoid the conversation, and I mean, others never avoid the conversation. They plunge right in, and you have to remain quiet and respectful. And it's hard. It's hard, but it is the right thing to do. There's no question.
Yeah. Indeed.
All right. And, extend that courtesy to somebody else who has a different opinion than you as well. You know, listen to them, and maybe they'll teach people other things in the future. I don't know.
I would just extend the Thanksgiving wishes and happiness. And I'm thankful for hackers. And
we're going to do this? Thankful for?
Yeah. All right. I would also just say, support hackers and keep working on things. Keep shining light on the truth and your perspective on things. It's invaluable. We really appreciate writing and people sharing ideas. That's what we're all about here.
Amen. I too support hackers. I'm thankful for hackers, particularly those who dress up as Colonel Sanders and scare the hell out of people in New Zealand. But that's just me, you know. I have weird tastes. Alex, yes.
I'll take the bullet and I'll say, I'm thankful for public radio and WBAI here, and the opportunity to have a show like we had today. That wouldn't happen on corporate radio. It hasn't happened on corporate radio for a good reason. So, support public radio, support WBAI. Go to give2wbai.org and remember, it's you guys that keep us on the air. We need this community to keep going.
Gila.
I'm thankful for this community. I'm thankful for the folks who join us every week. And I would like to remind everybody that if you turn to substances to get through difficult conversations tomorrow, please make sure you have a safe ride home. Don't drive drunk, folks.
Or don't be careful going up the stairs if you're home already.
Or also have true. That many slices of pie.
Yeah.
Pie.
And Rob.
I am thankful for branches that don't break. I am most thankful for the people in my life, and that includes this community, that includes the hacker world, that includes the folks who listen to this show, the folks who make this show with us, And everybody who makes all this possible, find your people, because whatever awkward conversations you've got to have when you go and visit folks, you can always come back to the right folks and have some easier conversations and some productive ones.
And when you do find those people, hang on to those people, take care of those people, check in on them, and, you know, don't forget about them. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And enjoy whatever it is you decide to do on that day. We will see you next week, 7 p.m. on WBAI, 8 p.m. here on YouTube. Good night.